Francis Gilbert and Frank's amazing colossal obsessions.
Def.
I'm Gilbert Gottfried, and I'm here with Frank Santopadre.
You woke him up.
Frank, I am definitely going to experience hearing loss from this show.
Colossal obsessions.
It's like it's an occupational hazard, like someone who works with an airbrush or a high pitched machinery.
Every time Gilbert speaks, the EPA issues a violation.
Yeah, something's going on. Oh, Gil, how are you?
Ah.
Do you feel like doing a little singing?
Well, if I have to.
Do you have a song in your heart?
Yeah, oh, yes, always.
We do these episodes that we have on Patreon. Our friends at Patreon pay us a little tiny little, what would you call it?
A pittance,
an honorarium.
Yes.
Just to hear you sing.
Yes.
I mean, did you ever, with all the success that you've experienced in your career, did you ever think people would pay money out of their pocket?
Absolutely.
To hear you murder beloved hits.
Yes.
A lot of people pay only once.
Whereas the people who sitting next to him really pay.
Yeah.
And for $20 more, he won't sing.
That's it. Well, that's like the old Chico Marx bit.
Yes.
From Animal Crackers.
Yeah, you see, if we don't rehearse, we don't play. And if we don't play, that runs into money.
So, we have a couple of things this week that I thought we would play around with. Listener Tom Brennan wants to hear, his request is a Jerry Goffin, a Carole King song. Paul is already flinching.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have you know this was the number one song in the country the day that I came into the world. The day that I was born.
You remember that.
I just know it. No, I know it because I research this kind of shit. And one day I thought, well, I wonder what the number one song was, the Billboard song, the day I was born. And then I found out from my family members and all my friends. It's kind of a fun thing.
We should all know that, actually.
If you give me your birth date, I can. It's my special power, like Mary Lou Henner. She can tell you the date on the calendar. But yes, the day I was born. This song, and it's always had a special place for me until today.
This will be the last time you hear this song.
Yes, and this is "Will You Love Me Tomorrow," made famous by the Shirelles, written by Carole King. Gil, I know you know it.
Yes.
It's notable for being the first song by a black all girl group to reach number one.
Wow!
Did you know that,
no.
sir? And the lead singer, Shirley Owens, did not want to record it because she thought it was too country.
Ah.
Too country.
Too country. Isn't that interesting?
Will you still love me?
And it was. It is ranked as one of the number 126 among Rolling Stone's list of the 500 greatest songs of all time.
It should definitely be there.
And after Gilbert favors
now,
us with his rendition.
Do we have it?
We just happen to have the lyric sheet right here.
Oh, we just happen to have it. Okay,
you are wrong, clef note breath.
Yes. Tonight you're mine.
Wait a minute, we have music.
Oh, what key would you like it in, Gilbert?
What key would he like it in?
The usual key.
Yeah.
And the key of screech.
Yes.
Here we go.
All right, give him an intro.
Tonight you're mine.
Came in the right place.
Completely.
A little faster.
You give your love so sweetly. Tonight the light of love is in your eyes. But will you still love me tomorrow? Treasure, or just a moment's pleasure? Can I believe the magic in your sighs? Will you still love me tomorrow? Tonight, with words unspoken. You say that I'm the only one, but will my heart When the night meets the morning sun.
How about Anthony Newley?
I like to have your love. It's a love that I can be sure of. So tell me now, and I won't ask again. Will you still love me tomorrow?
There's only 7 minutes left.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful.
A tear fell from my eye.
You know what's great? I hear him in my phones, but I'm also sitting 6 inches away from him. So I hear it also outside the phones.
Right. What I thought was great is you took your headphones off to avoid the loudness.
It got worse.
It's just worse.
It got worse when I took the phones off.
Well, we'll have to get Joan Collins on the show so I could do my Anthony Newley.
That's right. She was married to Anthony Newley.
That rendition was notable because at least three times Gilbert fell behind and he caught up
again. Caught up.
Yes!
He caught up.
Gilbert,
yes!
That was
stunning.
Impressive.
That's one of my talents. Yes.
Not
that
many
was
people
impressive.
Can do that.
The song was covered by the great Dusty Springfield on A Girl Called Dusty. Gilbert, you'll appreciate this. Little Eva.
Little Eva.
Yes,
Little Eva.
She was famous Carole King's
babysitter.
That's right.
Yeah.
And her big number was?
The Locomotive.
The Locomotion.
He sang it.
And and she said that, I think she said she wanted to be a singer, so Carole King wrote The Locomotive for her. And
Locomotion.
Locomotion.
Which I believe you sang with Ron Dante.
Oh, probably, yes.
You did.
Sounds right.
Yes. Yeah.
You did, same because we were talking about Brill Building
right,
and all of that old stuff.
So this song was covered twice, and now we can say it's buried.
Yes. That one should be covered. Cher released a version on her 1966 album called Cher. Jackie DeShannon. What was Jackie DeShannon famous for, Gilbert?
Jackie DeShannon.
Oh.
Think of your fellow man.
Oh, my God.
Little helping hand.
Put a little love in your heart.
That's it. Very good.
And the world.
That's it.
Will be a better place.
The Four Seasons, Roberta Flack, and Linda Ronstadt all covered this song.
Oh, wow.
How about that? Now a little podcast trivia.
Okay.
This is fun. Bertel Dash, a black demo singer for the Brill Building Songwriters, recorded an answer song. You remember we talked about what answer songs were?
Oh, yeah.
Answer songs were songs that were recorded to answer the question that was posed by the other song, by the other single.
And it was called Yeah.
Yes. It was called Not Just Tomorrow, But Always. It has erroneously been claimed by some historians that Dash, or Dashe, was a pseudonym for epic recording artist Tony Orlando.
Mm. Erroneous, ooh, though. It
says here, according to Wikipedia, which we know is completely unreliable, Tony Orlando, whose recording of the original song had not been released, as Don Kirshner thought the lyric was convincing only as sung by a woman. So the next time we get Tony in here, we have to ask him about
that. That's right.
Wow.
I just thought that was a fun coincidence that a fan pick this song, and it was connected to Tony Orlando.
And Tony Orlando's father is buried in a Jewish cemetery.
Yes, we have established. we have established on numerous occasions.
And I think they used to call him Ladle or something
They called
that.
Him Label.
Label.
Label, because he was in the garment business.
Yes.
Yeah.
Label.
Label. Yeah. We got to get Tony Orlando back.
Oh, he was terrific.
Yeah. We got to do like a greatest hits month.
Yes.
Where I think we just... What do you think of that idea, Paul? Why am I asking you?
Let me look it up.
That's like Harvey Korman. Why am I asking you? Yeah. Well, we just get like Billy West and Tony and some of the people who've been great on this show. Mark Hudson. Bring him back.
Mark Hudson.
Here's one that Paul Rayburn will love because this is Paul Rayburn's favorite songwriter.
Was it Mark Hudson who gave us that story? We can't say the actress.
Yes, it is.
She would wipe her ass with wet naps. And then toss it in the shower stall of her trailer.
And we can't say who it was.
Who was that?
You've also got the wrong podcast guest. That was Dana Gould.
Oh, that was Dana Gould who said it.
Yeah, but we'll never tell.
But Mark Hudson had one of those, didn't he?
Yeah. Sylvia Sidney is the answer to the who the actress was. Was Agnes Moorehead.
Lillian Gish.
B. Benaderet.
Dame Edith Evans.
Oh, God, you guys can keep going forever.
Ruth McDivitt. Look that one up. All right, Gilbert.
Wait, I'm trying to remember an actress's name. Oh, God. She was in Boeing.
Oh, my God.
How about Margaret Dumont?
That's another one. She was in everything.
Rita Shaw?
No.
Kathleen Freeman?
No, she was in that school, though.
Oh, she was in Lewis Stock Company?
She was always playing like the tough-talking... broad.
Not Mary Wicks.
No. Oh, Christ. The only person to look it up
is Paul.
Well,
how the hell am I going to look it up?
Look up Boeing.
The Jerry Lewis movie.
All right.
God damn it. He'll have this in 5 years from now.
No, you'll get it. I'm confident.
We're lucky.
I'm confident.
No, I will have
it. Rita something?
Rita Shaw.
Susanna Lee.
No.
Thelma Ritter.
Thelma Ritter. That's it.
I'll have it in 5 minutes.
Do I get a promotion?
Yes. All's quick. Thelma Ritter from Rear Window.
Yes.
Thelma Ritter, that's right.
Yeah. Okay. You feel better?
Yes.
Okay. You want to do another song?
Can we move on?
Sure.
Here we go. This is written. This is a hit song.
Oh, we have to get on. What's her name?
Oh, her.
Her.
Marilyn McCoo. How did I know who you were thinking of?
How did you do that?
I don't know.
It's gotten to that point already.
I just pulled a name out of the air. I'm holding the fifth.
It's like a miserable married couple.
I'm holding the fifth dimension in my hand. This is a song, a hit song for the fifth dimension, 1967, written by another former podcast guest, the great Jimmy Webb.
Wow.
And this was requested by Kelly M. Kelly M.
Don't
thinks
tell
so
me.
Much.
What Jimmy Webb's.
She respects,
dimension,
she
Jimmy
or
Webb.
He, Kelly, has so much respect for Jimmy Webb that they want you. They paid money to hear you mangle Jimmy Webb once again.
Okay, I know what this was.
Not the song, just Jimmy Webb.
This was written by Jimmy, recorded by the Fifth Dimension.
This was one of his first hits.
Yes, it went to number 7 in July of 1967 on the U.S. Singles Chart. It is called by Wikipedia a canonical.
Easy for you.
Jeez, Mr. Canonical. A canonical example of sunshine pop.
Are you familiar with that?
Sunshine.
Is that a genre?
Oh, that's
perfect.
I'm
walking on sunshine.
Is that a genre? Sunshine pop.
I would like to go back in time and buy up the rights to Walking on Sunshine.
Oh, it's used in everything.
Oh, yes.
And every movie trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From elevators to movies.
We will return to Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast after this.
And now back to the show. And the other song that's in every single goddamn movie trailer is George Thorogood's Bad to the Bone.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, they got a lot of mileage out of that.
And could somebody pass a law that if a character's about to have sex, you can't play the Hallelujah chorus?
Okay. How about that thing in movie trailers where they pull the record, they pull the needle off the record to change the tempo of the comedy?
So in these movies, I think in the 80s, mostly the 80s, maybe the 90s, romantic comedies, and that the last song over the credits in every one of those was sung by...
In what?
In who said, like the guy, this guy was like, did the last song over the credits at the end of like every rom-com for decades.
Oh, boy.
You just see it. Van Morrison.
Was it Van Morrison?
He was on
really?
A million
I
of
like
those.
Van Morrison.
I like Van Morrison, too, but he would be, just pop up at the end of for a period of time.
I did not know that.
That's right.
He wouldn't sing or play music. He would just be there.
Show up in a T-shirt waving. The instrumental backing on this wonderful song was performed, Paul would appreciate this, by members of the Wrecking Crew.
We talk about the Wrecking Crew. I got to see that documentary.
It's
you
wonderful.
Really
I have it on Blu-ray. I'll give it to you.
Yeah.
Including guitarist Al Casey and drummer Hal Blaine, who, damn it, I'm going to get on this show if it kills me. Okay, Gil.
Yes.
Frankie, Maestro. We apologize to Jimmy in advance.
Same key before.
The same key, yeah.
Yes.
Same key.
Would you like to ride in my beautiful balloon? Would you like to ride in my beautiful balloon? We could float among the stars.
You're behind,
together,
yeah.
You and I. For we can fly.
There.
Up, up and away. My beautiful balloon. The world's a nicer place in my beautiful balloon. It wears a nicer face in my beautiful balloon.
Okay, Jerry.
We can sing a song and sail along the silver sky. Fly! Up, up and away, my beautiful balloon.
Go high.
Suspended under a twilight canopy, we'll search the clouds for a star to guide us. If by some chance you find yourself loving me, we'll find a cloud to hide us. We'll keep the moon beside us. Love is there.
How about some Paul Lynn?
My beautiful balloon.
How about some Paul Lynn?
Way up in the air. And my beautiful, if you hold my hand, we'll chase your dream. How we can fly up and away in my beautiful.
He cracked himself up.
Oh, my balloon.
All right. We're all gonna. Oh, thank you, Frank. You can take that down.
The breath control in there was magnificent.
Oh, it was beautiful.
Yeah,
his phrasing. I think he's known for his phrasing, like Sinatra.
Now, I have some interesting little trivia here.
Hit me.
Okay. You mentioned Sunshine Pop.
Yeah.
So, what song am I thinking of? In 1967, same year as Up, Up and Away.
Sunshine Pop.
One of the great Sunshine Pop bands, according to Wikipedia.
Oh.
And the band, they were from, where is Delavan, New York? Have we ever heard of that?
New York.
Yeah, I don't know. That's where
they
were
from. Give me
another hint. Well, I'll tell you the name of the band and you tell me the name of the song.
Okay.
The band is The Free Design.
You got me.
And several.
The Free Design. I thought I've heard of every
you
pop band.
You apparently missed Sunshine
from the
70s. Pop.
Yeah.
And the song was Kites. Do you remember Kites,
Kites
Are Fun?
Kites.
Kites Are Fun.
I know, yeah. Go Fly a Kite from Let's
that's
Go Fly a Kite
from
Dick Van Dyke.
That's from Mary Poppins.
Yeah.
But no, Kites Are Fun. It's a great.
Well, now, do they break down what songs would be considered Sunshine Pop?
Well, they don't.
What's the difference
right
between Sunshine Pop and Bubblegum Pop?
That's
well,
good.
That's a good question.
Like Hitchin' a Ride by Vanity Fair.
All right,
you know that song?
Work on the next one.
The
let me
sun
do more
goes up,
a car goes by. Won't somebody stop and help a guy hitching
a ride?
Would that be Bubblegum? Would that be Sunshine?
Well, that's,
or Beautiful Beautiful Sunday by Daniel Boone, a song I love.
Scholars have puzzled over this. I think there are some records in the
all right.
London.
Future episode. To be determined in a future episode. This song, Jimmy Webb's wonderful song, which was just massacred by my partner. Was sung by the Johnny Mann Singers. Do you remember the Johnny Mann Singers, Gilbert?
Oh, wow.
Bing Crosby recorded it for his 68 album, Thoroughly Modern Bing.
Oh, jeez. Oh, there's another case of the older singers trying to be hip.
Diana Ross and the Supremes recorded it for their album, Reflections. Dionne Warwick is on her Valley of the Dolls album. The Sunshine Company. On their 67 debut album, Happy is the Sunshine Company.
That's got to be Sunshine
it's gotta
Pop.
Got to be. Nancy Sinatra, Andy Williams, and last but not least, Gilbert, Mrs. Miller.
Oh, from Merv Griffin?
Yeah, I think it's I hope it's the same Mrs. Miller. We'll put that out to our fans. It was also featured in a 1968 episode of Petticoat Junction.
And did the Mike Curb congregation?
I love the Mike Curb congregation.
I know they had their one hit,
"Burning Bridges" from Kelly's Heroes.
Oh,
yeah.
See, I remember they also had a Gingerbread Man.
That's right. Yeah. But "Burning Bridges" was the one. All the burning bridges that are falling next to me. That one from Kelly's Heroes, which is a great track. It's kind of a bubblegum song.
Yeah.
But you know.
This Sunshine Pop is crazy. We've stumbled onto something here.
Okay.
Somebody says Beach Boys, The Association.
Oh, The Association.
The Mamas and
Windy.
The Papas. Windy.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've discovered something I think that's long been buried and perhaps should have remained so.
Well, maybe we will do a future music. We haven't done too many music episodes, and we haven't done the One Hit Wonders in a long time because we were going to do them live. There were the three that Frank lost.
I recently found the email.
Yes, he did.
And it led me to a Dropbox that was still active that had 8.5 minutes of video from that night and unusable audio files.
Paul, Frank wanted people to know that he had nothing to do with it. So he posted a Facebook post. Right. He reposted it saying, "Good luck tonight. I can't be there." And yet.
He's still blamed.
And let's say that O.J. still denies killing
the Okay, Gil.
If the tape don't fit, you must have quit.
We got one more song for you, and I think you're going to enjoy this one.
Oh, okay.
Because you get to do one of your impressions.
Oh, jeez.
This was recommended by fan Lucas Matarazzo. I hope I'm saying that right. And this is a 1962 novelty song released as a single on Gary S. Paxton's Garpax Records. Oh, who didn't have Garpax Records? They were big. It was a number one single on the Billboard Hot Chart of October 20 to 27th of that year, just before Halloween. I think you can figure out. 1962, a novelty single that went to number one.
Do we know? It was a smash.
It was a graveyard smash. According to this... Leon Russell played on this song.
Oh, geez.
Can you wrap your mind around that? I hope it's right. Gilbert's going to take a shot at this, and he can do his wonderful... You can get two impressions in this one.
Oh, what's the other one?
Because there's a line.
Of course, his kites are fun by the Free Design, right?
Yes. I think this line...
Which one?
...is done as a different actor.
Would that be Lugosi?
It would be.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, Frankie, we're going to try this. This is right up Gilbert's alley. And then we'll do a little trivia about the song afterward. I just happen to have the lyrics here.
Ah.
What do we think? Now it's nice and slow. I think you can stay on.
Yes.
What is it called? Measure? In measure? On measure?
On the beat.
On the beat.
All right, buckle up.
Here we go.
That is not Gilbert.
Working in the lab late one night, when my eyes beheld an eerie sight, for my monster from its lair began to rise, and suddenly to my surprise, he did the monster mash.
He's catching up.
It was a graveyard smash. Caught on in a flash, he did the monster mash. Dory in a castle to the master bedroom where vampires meet. To ghouls all came their humble abode to jolt from my electrode. They did the monster mash.
He catches up on every corner.
It was a graveyard smash. It caught on in a flash. They did the monster mash. Zombies were having fun. The party had just begun. The guests included Wolfman, Dracula, and his son. The scene was rocking, all digging the sound. Igor on chain, back by King with the vocal group, the Crypt Kicker 5.
Crypt Kicker 5.
The match. It was a high-dog smash. He caught on in a flash. He played the Monster Mash. Out of his coffin, Drax voice degree. He seemed in trouble. He opened the lid and shook his fist and said, "What happened to my Transylvania twist?" It was the Monster Mash. And it's a graveyard smash. Now the mash. He caught on in a flash. Drax a part of the past. And the Monster Mash. It's in the mash. Oh, you're living. He does it too fast. They did the Monster Mash. And you, my graveyard. Then you do the Monster Mash.
You know, people don't know this. This is a real interesting trivia point. That was actually the Supremes.
Really?
Singing the backup.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, people don't know that.
Oh, I did hear something like that.
No, he's pulling your chain.
No, wasn't there like some famous group on something?
I don't know.
Oh, that's interesting.
Maybe there was.
Well, Boris Pickett, Bobby Boris Pickett's, according to this, the Crypt Kicker Five were Gary S. Paxton, pianist Leon Russell. I hope the hell that's true because that's great trivia. Terry Berg, Ricky Page, Johnny McRae. Those were the Crypt Kickers. And the song was partially inspired by Paxton's earlier novelty hit, Alley-Oop.
Alley-Oop. You know what that always reminds me of is Itsy Bitsy Teeny Weeny Yellow Polka Dot Bikini.
That was Brian Hyland.
Yeah. It's another yeah. novelty.
And Boris Karloff was a fan of this song.
He was alive. Yeah.
He liked the song, but he thought that Pickett sounded nothing like him.
Is that true?
Yes.
Did we ask Sarah about this song when we had Sarah Karloff
yeah.
on?
I think she said he liked
we
it.
We must have. Yeah. That was fun, Gil. Had you ever sung that in those voices in your life?
No.
You're working hard. That was great. Now, listen to this. A Christmas-themed follow-up. Oh, Monsters Holiday, which we'll also play. Monster backed with Monster Motion was also released in 62, and that reached number 30 on the charts in December. Blood Bank Blues.
Oh.
And the B-side was Me and My Mummy did not chart.
Oh, wait a second.
Did not chart.
There was a song which sounded very much like Monster Mash that Lon Chaney Jr. sang.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Not Werewolf Watusi.
No. There was one that Lon Chaney sang it, and it was so obviously a ripoff of Monster Mash.
Do you want to look up Lon Chaney novelty song,
Lon
Paul? Gilbert.
Now, I know he sang the song to Spider Baby.
Yes,
Lon
Spider
Chaney.
Baby. But
this was a separate
you
one.
You think it was a single that he released?
It was a single, and it was an obvious ripoff of Monster Mash.
Wow. Yeah, I have some trivia here. In 1977, Vincent Price issued a version in the UK on EMI Records.
Oh.
Did you find that?
It was the night before Christmas, and all through the castle, my monsters were having a
Here's the Chaney.
The tree was all trimmed in foolish things like wolfman fangs and vampire wings.
It was a monster's
they were up to no good.
It was a monster's holiday.
Didn't act like good monsters should.
It was a monster's holiday.
They found themselves a new prey.
It was a monster's holiday.
They planned to rob Santa's sleigh.
That is a total ripoff.
They were making a
list.
That's Lon Chaney Jr., Christmas 1964.
So Lon Chaney Jr. covered Monster's Holiday?
Yes.
That was already done by Bobby Boris Pickett? We've got to get the chronology of this.
Yeah.
Because Pickett's song, Pickett's version of Monster's Holiday, which was the Christmas follow-up to Monster Mash, was released in 62. And Chaney died when? Not long after.
Yeah. And, I mean, he sounds so healthy in this song.
According to this, and it could be bullshit, the backing singers for the record were the Blossoms, led by Darlene Love.
Wow. Oh, so it was
maybe that's
someone.
The one you were thinking about.
Well, yeah. If I see Darlene Love on The View in the next couple of weeks, because we book her every year for Christmas, I'm gonna bring up the goddamn monster mash.
Now, listening to Cheney's voice, could you tell he drank?
What do you know about Bobby Boris Pickett?
I think he used to like to joke around and do imitations.
Yeah.
And then this was just like kind of fucking around the studio.
Yeah, from Massachusetts and died fairly young. He was only 69 when he died. Best known for co-writing and performing in 1962. But apparently he incorporated impressions in a nightclub act. He had a Hollywood nightclub act in the 50s, which I didn't know. How about that?
Yeah.
Interesting. And I guess Dr. Demento helped make this song popular.
Oh,
Which actually makes sense. What do you got, Paul? Anything else?
I haven't got what you're looking for, but Lon Chaney's last recordings, he made an album called The Wolfman Speaks.
We got to get
wow.
that.
Yeah, The Wolfman Speaks, and some of their tunes are October Night, In the Graveyard, The Little Red Knife, The Rumpus Room.
That sounds great.
We got to get our hands on that. Yeah. Okay, so that wraps another edition of Gilbert Sings.
Yes.
A show that is a misnomer. The title is a misnomer if ever there was one.
Has that show charted?
Yeah. Well, you see, the listeners, they're people after your own heart, Gilbert. They know to get you to sing the Monster Mash.
You know, I have an idea. Why don't we set up a keyboard for Gilbert next opportunity?
Not plug it in?
If he can sing, he can play the keyboard.
Yes.
Have you ever tried to play an instrument?
You know, I think when I was really little, my parents got me piano lessons, which I don't remember.
You don't remember
note.
It?
I don't remember
it. I took piano lessons for 9 years.
Yeah. So the old musician's joke on this thing is, you know, do you know how to play the saxophone? The answer is, I don't know. I never tried.
Right. He plays the Jew's harp. Oh, we'll go out with a little Bobby Boris Pickett.
Oh, let's
Christmas
go out on
music.
The Lon Chaney monster one.
Okay, Frankie, you got your marching orders. You want to take us out of this?
Oh, this has been Gilbert and Frank's Amazing Colossal Obsession.
See you next time.
The night before Christmas and all through the castle, my monsters were having a Yuletide hassle. The tree was all trimmed in foolish things like wolfman fangs and vampire wings.
It was a monster's holiday,
but they were up to no good.
It was a monster's holiday,
didn't act like good monsters should.
It was a monster's holiday,
they found themselves a new prey.
It was a monster's holiday,
they planned
holiday.
To rob Santa's sleigh. They were making a list and checking it twice. Frankenstein wanted a shiny new try, a new chain for Yanish, a brace for Igor's back, a shaver for the Wolfman, a new cape for Drac.
It was a monster's holiday,
but they were up to no good.
It was a monster's holiday,
didn't act like good monsters should.
It was a monster's holiday,
they found themselves a new prey.
It was a monster's holiday,
they planned to rob Santa's sleigh. The mummy was to signal from the castle roof at the very first sound of a reindeer's hoof. The Santa slid down the chimney wall. The zombies were to make off with sleigh all. From beyond the moat there rose such a clatter. I jumped to the window to see what was the matter. Like a bolt of lightning, it happened so quick. There in our midst stood old Saint Nick.
It was a monster's holiday,
yeah, but they were up to no good.
It was a monster's holiday,
didn't act like good monsters should.
It was a monster's
they
holiday,
they found themselves a new prey.
It was a monster's
they
holiday,
they planned to rob Santa's sleigh. But he began to dig down deep in his sack and came up with the traction for Igor's back. Drac got his cape, Frankie promised to behave, and the Wolfman was happy. Now he can shave.
It was a monster's holiday,
and all ended well.
It was a monster's holiday,
Santa was really swell.
It was a monster's holiday,
no need to rob Santa's son.
It was a monster's holiday,
maybe next year he'll come back. Now all you monsters, what do you think of Santa? Wasn't he great? Remember, he's the one you wanted to bait.
brought you happiness and cheer and wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Now, wait a minute, Mommy. What did you think of Santa? Mommy done told me when I was in Band-Aid that he was the greatest.